Bill Good.
Ian Bruce is a climate change specialist for the David Suzuki Foundation. He joins me in the studio. Your reaction to the throne speech and what you were able to hear of Premier Campbell? And I'm talking non-political, just your gut reaction on what they're doing, saying, promising.
Well, it definitely is a significant change in direction for the BC government. Was glad to hear that the Premier mentioned that we can no longer procrastinate. He talked about the urgency of global warming and putting in solutions as quickly as possible. And also he talked a lot about the positive economic opportunities from the new technologies that will be made here in the province and are the possibilities for additional trade of these new technologies to help solve this global problem. But there are also a lot of concerns that we have as well.
Primarily,
the lack of short-term targets. The Premier has not shown how the BC government will try and meet Canada's Kyoto commitments, which are international legally binding law. So, for example, the province of Quebec has a climate change plan. And the Quebec has said that they will do most of the heavy lifting towards meeting Canada's Kyoto commitment within their province by doing two-thirds of the reductions in emissions. And this is something that we wanted to see by the Premier, a commitment to Kyoto, and as well, those short-term targets are needed in order to get over the inertia to start reducing emissions.
But what I thought I heard him say was that we probably should be honest and can't meet the short-term Kyoto targets, probably because we haven't acted soon enough, that these were promises made, what, in 1996, that haven't been acted on right across the country generally.
They have been acted on other parts of the country. Quebec, Manitoba, Prince Edward Island, they've all had climate change plans in place.
But are they meeting Kyoto?
For several years that aim to meet Kyoto. The province of Manitoba would be, and Quebec would be, two leading examples.
Okay, can we reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 33% in 13 years, by 2020?
Certainly. Is that ambitious enough? Scientists are telling us we're likely going to need to do more than that in order to avoid the worst impacts of global warming.
Mr. Campbell said he wants BC to be carbon neutral by 2010. How significant is that, and what exactly does it mean? Can you put it in layman's terms?
Well, this is exactly it. Yesterday it was the speech from the throne, and that's exactly what it is. It's a speech. It's not a plan, so we don't have a lot of details about how the government plans to reach these targets that they've set out. So it's quite ambiguous as far as what that means, how they're going to become carbon neutral.
But what does it mean to be carbon neutral?
Well, it means that your ecological footprint, that whether you're a business or a home, for example, that you're not, you're carbon neutral. You're not emitting any more carbon pollution into the atmosphere. Your net effect is zero. So that could mean that you're doing everything you can at home to reduce your energy consumption, whether it be electricity and car usage. And then by either buying offsets or credits that are invested in renewable energy, which are which can displace the need, for example, the need for coal-fired power, for example. So that's the concept. But what's very important too is that those are legitimate offset credits. And for example, if a lot of companies out there are selling credits for planting trees, and that's not considered legitimate offsets by a lot of the international community because a forest can burn and those emissions can go up in smoke and up into the atmosphere. So there's a lot of issues there.
Shane Simpson is NDP environment critic and MLA for Vancouver Hastings. Going to get to him right after a break. Also talking with Ian Bruce, climate change specialist with the David Suki Foundation. If you have any environmental question or climate change question, I invite you to call and ask him. There are still people. I still get emails from people questioning the whole science of climate change, and you may be able to ask a scientific or specific question on that to Ian. Shane Simpson is the NDP environment critic, and I know he was listening and wanting to have a chance to respond, and I mentioned that Carol James will be here tomorrow. But Shane Simpson, your reaction to the throne speech?
Well, I guess there's a couple of things, Bill, and thanks for the opportunity. First of all, clearly it's a good thing that the government has moved considerably on the issue of the importance of this issue and on the issue of targets in some way. We can go back to when it was Mr. Campbell and Mr. Klein back in the early 2000s who were denying Kyoto, and Mr. Campbell has consistently resisted the idea of targets. So I'm pleased that he's now shifted his position. The challenge I have with this is that the only target that's province-wide, the only broad target, is 13 years out. There's some discussion of maybe some targets in 2012 or 2016, but those will be sectoral targets. They won't be broad targets, and we don't know what those sectors are or what that means. We also have this climate action team that we don't know who these people will be or when they will report or how whether their work will be transparent. As you may know, Bill, we called for a legislative committee to do this work. We called the CAP at 2007 and a legislative committee to come up with targets. And that's clearly the premier has chose to go in a different direction. One other comment I'd make is you talked about being carbon neutral. I want to be clear here. There is no commitment for British Columbia to be carbon neutral in 2010. The commitment is for the government of British Columbia's activities to be carbon neutral. The rest of the activity in the province, there's no commitment on it being carbon neutral.
So tell me what the NDP would do. If you formed a government, what specific would you do?
Well, to tell you the truth, if you look at, we released a report about 10 days ago where we called on the government to cap. We released with that a whole series of activities, and you can see that almost everything in this throne speech was taken directly from the list of recommendations that we put out 10 days ago. You can mirror one to the other. So it looks an awful lot like exactly the list that the Premier put out yesterday.
So it's hard to criticize them for doing exactly what you said they should do.
But here's the challenge, Bill. They have put out a target that says in 2020 there will be a significant reduction for 2020, and that's fine. But they have resisted completely doing anything in the short term. What we said is if you're going to start to deal with this issue, you need to stop the growth of emissions now. And we called for to cap at 2007 levels. We called for a legislative committee to report out within about 6 months on what those longer-term targets should be, and to do it in a very public way, which legislative committees do. The government rejected both of those suggestions, and we now know that there is nothing between now and the election in May of 2009. There is not a commitment that the government needs to meet before that election, and some of us can be a little cynical about that.
Fair enough. I want to get to some calls. Peter, hello.
Hi, Bill. I have one point to make and a question to ask.
Sure.
And, you know, the point is I'm a fiscally right-leaning person, but, you know, my general belief is that there is no good reason to harm the environment, and therefore we ought to do everything we can to protect it. I mean, but what I don't have a sense of is you know, exactly what can I do. You know, I mean, the obvious answer is, and the rhetoric says, I can go and exchange my car. But, you know, if government is really serious about that in all levels, then they would have no sales taxes on any vehicle that was certified as ultra-low emissions. But here's my question. When you look at the global economy in British Columbia, you have commercial traffic on the roads, you have industry, you have individual homes. People have even talked about, you know, bovine flatulence, and then there are cars. And my question is my better impact on the environment through changing my car and investing in a lower emitting vehicle, or is my best investment in contributing more taxes that might get industry to change over? Because I have no concept of what percentage of overall greenhouse gases are created by, you know, single-use vehicles.
Well, let's ask Mr. Bruce. I thought I heard the Premier say this morning about 40% of our greenhouse gases were provided through vehicle emissions. Is that about right?
Through transportation in general, as well as trucks, heavy trucks. But at least for individuals, the most of our emissions here in the province of BC depend on how you get around, how you get to and from work, for example, and depend on where you live. So if you lived in downtown Vancouver and you can walk to work, your emissions are low. But if you commute a long distance, then and you have to use a car, then having a more fuel-efficient car makes a significant difference. But I guess one of the big weaknesses with the announcement yesterday was that even the, some of the most promising elements of that plan could be completely, all progress could be lost with the expansion of freeways in the region and the and spurring urban sprawl. And it's not about how many cars and trucks we can move around the region, it's about how many people and goods we could move around should be our objective. And by investing more in public transit in British Columbia, by having a long-term fund, which we don't have at the moment, would make a big difference. And if we invest billions of dollars in highways, we only make the region more car dependent, and our emissions will significantly rise. And I've heard a lot of comment that we'll reduce emissions by idling, by expanding freeways, and that's completely untrue. What time and time again shows is that regions that follow that model, such as Los Angeles that has done this, spend way more time in traffic because congestion levels, traffic volume increases almost double the volume, and you get essentially more congestion and more people waiting in line to get around because.
What if the new cars are emission free?
They aren't. But
no, they're not now.
Yeah, yeah,
what if they were? What if that electric car concept came back in a substantive way?
Exactly. It's an excellent direction to take, and we need to take for the long term. So that's in 20, 30 years maybe. But what we can't lose sight of today. We can't lose sight of what we can do now. And that's what I think the throne speech really lacked, was the solutions that we could be putting in place today, the targets that we could be putting in place today.
Ian Bruce, climate change specialist, David Suzuki Foundation, Shane Simpson, NDP environment critic, and your calls. Robert.
Hi, good morning. If the premier wants to be taken seriously, that he has found the new religion and discovered climate change as an issue, I suggest that he immediately announced that the portion of the Gateway project that's going to twinning the Portman Bridge and expanding the freeways be dedicated to a giant monumental infusion of cash to public transit in the Lower Mainland. This would be more than a symbolic gesture. This would be actually something that people could rally around, including the gentleman who asked what could he do in his life to change his life to support the environment.
Shane Simpson?
Well, I think your caller makes a good point. What we know about the Gateway and in the throne speech, it's promoted as a positive for reduction of emissions. There's certainly no evidence to suggest that, and that's not the evidence with comparable projects elsewhere. The other thing we know is the government cut back on funding for things like the Northeast Rapid Transit Line or Light Rail Transit Line. We need to be investing in those transit options. That's not in this plan, and we need to see where that is.
Ian Bruce, you would concur, wouldn't you?
I would completely agree. We need to be having a mass redirection of funding from freeways into public transit. And for example, the SkyTrain right now is only running at 1/3 capacity. At full capacity, it has the people carrying capacity of a 20-lane freeway. And public transit addresses the root cause of congestion, which is a community too dependent on cars. So we reduce pollution, our greenhouse gas emissions, protect human health, and reduce congestion all at the same time.
My thanks to Ian Bruce and to Shane Simpson. Tomorrow, Carol James, you're with Bill Good on CKNW News Talk 980. The news next. The-